Hey, good morning, West Campus. Thank you so much for tuning in today. Hey, I want to begin today. I just want to give a huge thank you to our campus. I want to thank everyone who has been praying for our new campus, our new facility, as we're in the season of raising money for it and asking God to bless us and meet us in it. I want to thank you for all your generosity for that. At the beginning of this year, we asked for people to make pledges to this, and so far, 7 months into this year, we are moving at a pace to raise maybe a little over $600,000 towards it over the next 4 years. We've also got about $450,000 in the bank already. We plan on selling this facility, so we are right in the ballpark of that $1.5 million. So thank you for your incredible heart of faith and generosity. And if you still want to be part of that, you can still give. You can still join this effort. We still got a ways to go. But thank you for your hearts of faith and boldness this far. And because of this, we are going to go and have a time of prayer on our new property this Monday night. And we're going to do this once a month where we're just going to go out, we're going to look with the eyes of faith on our property, and we're just going to begin to pray this down. Because here's what we know, God can do great things, and God is going to do great things for our church, but we've got to be in prayer. I believe that our church moves forward through prayer. And what we're trying to do, it's impossible with God, without God. It's too hard for us. It's beyond us. But with prayer, as Jesus says, with God, all things are possible. So I want to invite you to come and pray with us and make that part of your month. You can find more info on it on our website. And hey, today we are wrapping up our sermon series on rest. As you might know, this month of July, we've been calling it our month of rest as a church. We've been trying to do less. We've been trying to teach on it. We've been sending out devotionals. We gave you a journal so you can be writing and thinking about it. But our whole hope is that each of us would find some rest, some renewal, some of God's strength, and we could sort of slow down and reconnect with Him and each other. And today I want to just share one last thing about rest before we move on from this month. And I don't know about you, but I'm kind of an excitable personality. And what I mean by that is like I can hear a cool idea or a cool thought, and then I come home and I'm like, I want to go all in for that. I can be a little bit of an all or none personality, you know, and I'll make these grand ambitions only to see them fizzle out, you know, later on. When COVID-19 happened and our church shifted and we weren't able to make it in person, like I had in my mind, I'm like, you know what? We're going to make all these home churches. We're going to totally change our strategy. We're going to do all this. And then I had these great thoughts, great ideas, but didn't really go anywhere with it. And I've seen that pattern in my life. You know, I've I get inspired, I get motivated, I get excited, but it can be a flash in the pan. And as I've grown and hopefully matured some, I've begun to appreciate more and more the power of very small changes over long periods of time. And I really believe that the changes that we want in life, they come from the small changes over time. Not the huge, extraordinary changes that we're trying to do in a moment that fizzle out, but the small ones that we can sustain over time. And I believe that all of us, if we're honest today, we all, as we grow older, as we go through life, I bet all of us, we want healthy change in our life, and we want it in a way that's sustainable. We want it in a way that just keeps us moving forward. I don't know about you, but one of the things that I've been asking God lately is, God, help me just to be a little bit better each day. God, just help me to grow a little bit more each day and help me to not take a step back. Just small change that is sustainable. And if you've ever tried to incorporate that type of change in your life, you know how difficult it can actually be. Because you know what you're trying to do, you know why you're trying to do it, but then it can be hard to bring it all together and to make it happen. But I believe that for most of us, the way God is going to change our life is not going to be maybe this dramatic thing that we're expecting and hoping for, but it's going to be the small daily decisions that are a little bit different, a little bit healthier, a little bit wiser, a little bit better that God uses over the course of time to shape us. And I want to leave you today with Ephesians chapter 3, where the Apostle Paul is writing, and he's been in Ephesians 3, he's been talking about how God has this incredible eternal purpose that Paul says we kind of understand what it is, and we see it working in Christ, and it involves the whole world. And then he transitions to the point where he says, and you know what? And God is wanting to align your life and my life with this purpose. And he writes these powerful verses. And in these verses, I believe, are the pathway for this sustainable change. How do we experience this sustainable change? How do we become in alignment with what God has for us? And I think here Paul tells it to us. So here it is, Ephesians chapter 3, and I'm going to start reading at verse 14. He says this, "For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do more, far more abundantly than we can ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." Now, I believe in these verses is a path to sustainable change for our lives, to the type of change that God wants for you and me, the good change that I think we're hoping for this morning. And this change is built on these three ideas that I see in this verse today: identity, habits, and experience. If you're taking notes, you could just write those down. Identity, habits, and experience. The path to sustainable change is around identity, habits, and experience. Let's talk about identity first. Paul says, he says, "For this reason, I bow before the Father." And then he says, "And this Father is the one from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named." And these are powerful words, powerful ideas that are being communicated here. Paul is saying that the origin of every family, the origin of every one of us, is not biological, it's spiritual. That our Heavenly Father, God Almighty, he is the origin of every family in existence. That ultimately our legacy, our heritage, is much more spiritual than it is biological. See, today you are more, and we are more than just a physical experience of matter. You're more than just a collection of cells. Your personality and your feelings and your life experience, it's more than just neurons firing and chemicals changing and all that. You're more than just biology. You and I are spiritual at our core. In fact, I would argue that the spiritual part of us is the more real part of us, the deeper part of us, the more true part of who we are. And when we fail to recognize that, or when we fail to understand that, and we try to live life in just a material way, where we just think of ourselves as flesh and bone, and life is only what I can see and taste and touch and hear and smell, and when we lose sight that there is a deeper spiritual reality behind you, behind me, and behind everything, I think we will always struggle to live a healthy life. Because you and I know that material things need tended to in material ways. If you're going to take care of your yard, you've got to water your plants and cut your grass. You've got to have some upkeep. If you're going to take care of your physical body, you've got to hydrate and exercise and eat well. If you're going to take care of your bills, you got to make money and budget and all that kind of thing. Well, if we're spiritual beings, then how does our spirit get taken care of? Well, it needs taken care of in spiritual ways. And our spirits, I would say, need even more attending to than anything else in our lives. And maybe for some of us, the reason that we're living from an exhausted place is because we've neglected our spiritual side. We've lost sight of it. We have thought about life in all these other terms, but here's what Paul is saying. He's saying, hey, at the end of the day, you are a spiritual being. You come from God, from whom every family that's represented in this church, your ultimate beginnings is not maybe a family that immigrated here from Europe or Africa or wherever, but ultimately our true beginnings are from our Heavenly Father. They are spiritual at its core, and we have to understand ourselves as spiritual. Here's the other part of this, is that he says all families come from God. And I think in this time in our world, if you've ever paid attention to this, most times we try to build our identities on how we are different than each other. I think there's a big push in our world today to build the foundation of our identity of how we're different from one another, whether that's in our gender, in our race, in all kinds of things, just all these different ways. We're trying to build an identity on our differences. And what that creates in our world is a lot of hostility. Because if you go around life and you are just so attuned to how you're different from other people, what that ends up building in us is isolation, loneliness, and resentment towards others. And what Paul is showing us is he's saying, don't understand yourself and how you're different, but we need to understand ourselves and how we're alike. So that every family comes from God. And said that all of us, we share this same spiritual heritage, that there's more alike in us than different. And I believe if you look through history, that when we as people, as human beings, when we begin to see ourselves more in how we're alike than we're different, that's when good things happen. When human beings look at each other and instead of, you know, building their identity and saying, well, we're different, when they start saying, well, hey, we're all humans. We all have the same basic needs and drives and basic wants. And when we start understanding ourselves and defining ourselves by our similarities instead of our differences, I would say that's when you see healthy things happen in the world, right? That's when you see the abolishment of things like slavery and all these societal evils. We're like, oh, wait, we can't do this because we're more the same. We're humans. We bear the image of God. And what Paul is saying is he's saying your identity is from your Heavenly Father. We are all originate from the same spiritual family. God's the origin of all of us. And we need to think of ourselves and to strive to understand ourselves as a shared human beings in this experience of life. And here's what I'd also say about this. Paul shows us that we have a spiritual heritage that goes further back and is deeper than our genealogy. See, today there are big parts of our identity, how we understand ourselves, that was shaped by our families, by school, by our life experiences. And today, each of us carries a lot of baggage from how those things shaped our identity. I recently, maybe it was a year or two ago, but I got a little subscription to Ancestry.com for like a month or two. And it was fun to try and trace back and see, you know, all the different members in my family tree, and I was able to see some things from like my great-grandfather and, you know, learn a little bit about where they were born, and it was just kind of a cool experience. And all of us, you know, our identity has been shaped by those people, by parents, grandparents, aunts, uncles, all of that. And some of that shaping is good, and some of that shaping has been negative. Some of that shaping has messed us up. And what Paul is showing us is even though that is part of our identity, we can't escape it, we have to deal with it and work through it, but he's saying, but ultimately you need to know that your heritage is deeply spiritual, and it goes back to God. The Apostle Peter says it this way. He says, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possessions, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Now, what Peter's saying, he's saying that is your spiritual identity. So today, I want you to know, if you are watching this, this is your spiritual identity. Number one, you are chosen by God. Now, some of us, our identity is as one that's not chosen, but someone who's been passed over. Maybe you grew up and you were never, you know, picked on the football team or basketball team at recess. Maybe you felt rejected by your peers, you felt rejected by teachers, you felt maybe rejected by parents and family. Maybe some of us and work, we feel passed over, neglected, or rejected. But here's what Paul is saying. He's saying at the end of the day, we have an identity of one who is chosen. And we've been chosen by God. If the Almighty God, the creator of the universe, chooses you, you know what? That trumps all the other rejections in life. That gives us a healthy identity to navigate those rejections and to live from a place of health and well-being as we rest in God choosing us. And I want you to know that's your identity today. And when our biological identity overrides our spiritual identity, we'll live life with a limp that we don't have to have. We'll live life with struggles that God says, no, you need to live in your spiritual identity and let that shape you more than your biological identity. You're a chosen people. He says, we are a royal priesthood. That means your identity and my identity is that we are servants to God and to people. What does a priest do? Well, in some ways, a priest represents God to people and people to God. A priest is a servant to both those. They're serving to honor God and they're serving to honor people and to serve them and to represent people before God and God before people. And Peter says, at your identity, you are a spiritual being. You are someone who is here to serve God and to serve people and to serve back and forth between those two. That's who we are. He says that we're a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that we belong to God. Today, maybe some of us, we feel like we don't have a place in the world. Some of us, we, you know, no matter what room we're in, we just have this nagging insecurity in our hearts. I don't belong here. And it's not a question we're trying to bring up and ask ourselves, but it's a question that just arises in our hearts and life. And the reason that that question can be so powerful and so shaping to us in negative ways is because we are still learning to find our identity and our spiritual heritage in Christ. You belong to God. Everywhere you go, you can find belonging because the presence of God is there with you. It's who you are. It's your identity. And then lastly, Peter says, and we have this mission, we have this purpose to proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Peter says, wherever we go, we have this mission to proclaim the excellencies of Jesus Christ, the one who has worked in our life to call us out of darkness and into his marvelous light. So the first thing, if we're going to grow in all the way God wants for us, is we have to accept our spiritual identity. We know in life how to accept our biological identity. Today, we know all the baggage that we carry into this room, or we carry as we're sitting watching this at home. We know what it is to live from those places, good and bad, but what we need to learn today is how to live from that spiritual identity, from that place of truth and power that originates in God and that we can access today. If there's going to be sustainable change in our life, it has to begin by seeing ourselves differently, by seeing ourselves as who we truly are through the grace of God, through the work of Christ. And then Paul goes on in this prayer, and he says, and I'm praying that the Holy Spirit would give you strength and power so Christ may dwell in your heart through faith. And if I could just try and simplify these ideas, here's what Paul is saying. The Holy Spirit gives us strength in our inner being so we can love, obey, serve, and glorify Jesus Christ. See, one of the fundamental truths about Christianity, and you have to understand this, is that Christianity teaches that you and I, we are not capable to live the life we're meant to on our own. We're not strong enough, we're not smart enough, we're not capable enough. That you and I, we are meant to live with a day-by-day, a moment-by-moment reliance on the Holy Spirit, on the third person of the Trinity, on the person of God who literally lives within you to give you strength, to give you wisdom, to give you direction, to give you everything that you need. But apart from him, apart from his presence and his strength, we can't live the life that we're meant to do. That God himself lives in you and lives in me to help us to do all God wants us to do with our lives. Now, that simple truth, if you're like me, you can forget that a lot of days. In a lot of days, I'm waking up and I'm going through my day and I'm going through my life and I'm trying to do it in my own ability and my own wisdom and my own power. And one of the most basic fundamental concepts of Christianity is when you wake up every day and you say, Lord, I can't do this day without you. I can't love the people around me well. I can't serve my family well. I can't do work in the way that you want me to. God, I need you to just be at work in me and I need your help every moment of this day. Paul says that the Holy Spirit strengthens our inner person, the core of who we are, so that Christ can dwell in our hearts, so that we can live under the leadership of Jesus Christ. Now just think about this concept for a minute. Most of us, I believe, that are watching today, we want to live better lives. We even know what it would look like to live a better life, but we still struggle to do it. Right? So think about that. Most of us watching today, we want to be better today than we were yesterday. We want to be better tomorrow than we are today. I bet there isn't one person watching today that doesn't feel that way. And I would even be willing to bet that most of us know what some of that looks like what being better looks like and how we can navigate it. You know, like every day I wake up and I'm like, man, I know I want to eat healthy. I want to be physically healthier. And I know what that looks like. I know it doesn't look like eating pie. I know it looks like passing over the ice cream when we take our girls to Mitchell's. I know that's what it looks like, and I want it. But then we get there, church. And all the power to do the right thing, I can't find it. And I can't do it. and I cave. And life is like that in a lot of ways. We want to do better. We even know how, but we can't always find the actual ability and power to do it. And this is what Paul is praying for. This is what he's saying. I'm praying that the Spirit within you, the Holy Spirit, God himself, the third person of the Trinity, would just keep bringing strength to that inner man. So in every way, Christ can dwell in your heart, meaning that he can reign as King and Lord, that his desires would be your desires, his way would be your ways, that your life would just be attuned and aligned with who he is. And so when I think about this, and I try to make it practical and real in my life, here's what I think it ends up looking like. It's God giving me the ability to create better daily habits. I believe God wants to change every one of us watching this. But I think that God is going to change us, for many of us, he is going to change us through changing our habits and sticking with it every day. And I want you today, I want you to write down all the habits that you want God to bring into your life, that you think would be more pleasing to God, more honoring, that would make you healthier to serve him, to know him, to love him, to worship him, all that. I want you just to put a list of what all those habits are. Maybe there's 10 of them, maybe there's 20 of them, maybe there's 5, it doesn't matter. But I want you just to take a moment today or this week and sit with God and just list and say, you know what? If God gave me all this power in my inner man and I could completely change my daily habits, this is what it would look like. And some can be really spiritual looking, you know, like times of prayer and reading the Bible, but maybe some are like drinking more water or, you know, going on a walk with your wife or husband or whatever. Just don't put any judgment on these, but just what you think will make you healthier for God and for the people he's called you to serve. I want you to list them out, and then I want you to just pray and say, Holy Spirit, help me to focus on just one right now. My problem in life is I try to do 10 at once. And when you try to do 10 at once, guess how many you stick with? None. I always try to change in too big of ways. Too much, too soon, too fast. But I want you to just prayerfully, through the Holy Spirit's wisdom, just pick one. Just circle it on your paper. Circle it in your journal. You got a nice new journal. Get that thing out. Circle it in there. And then I want you just for the next couple of months to every day ask the Holy Spirit to help you build that habit into your life. And once you get a couple months from today, and you're like, man, this is like waking up and brushing my teeth. I don't struggle with it anymore. I don't think about it. I just do it. When you're at that point, then guess what? I want you to go back to another time of prayer, and I want you to let the Holy Spirit guide you, and I want you to circle the next habit. And then slowly over the course of your life, I want you to watch how God radically changes you and radically changes me through that slow and steady approach. See, that Holy Spirit power, it's in you. But we've got to connect to it. We've got to learn how it operates in our life and what it looks like. And I think today some of us we're kind of waiting for God to come into our house and to kick down the door and to just bring all this dramatic change. And what you and I don't realize today is actually God is right there with you right now. But the way he's going to change you and me is so much slower and more subtle than we think. But do you know what? Over time, it will be more powerful than you can think or imagine. I promise you, but you have to give it a try. So we need a new identity, and we need new habits. Just pick one. Just pick one today. And then we need a new experience. Paul says, I pray you would be filled with the fullness of God. How do we get filled with the fullness of God? By knowing the love of Jesus Christ for us. He says, I pray you would comprehend the height, the depth, the width, the breadth, right? He's using just this powerful imagery that every dimension of God's love, your heart would experience. And he says, you wouldn't just comprehend it, but you would know it in a way that surpasses knowledge. That it would just get into your bones, into your DNA, into your spirit, and it would just be so incredibly powerful. Can I tell you today that the highest summit of the Christian life is knowing and experiencing Christ's love in this way? Do you know what God wants most for you today, church? It's that you would really know the love Christ has for you. That's what he wants most for you today. I know some of us think like God wants something out of us. But I'm telling you, God wants something in you. He wants you to know the richness of Jesus Christ and his love for you and for me. How cool is that? Paul said, I'm praying you would be filled with it. And I find this so powerful because if you read a lot about the human psyche, you'll often hear many people say that there are two very, very powerful negative human cognitions, negative, you know, dominant ways of thinking and feeling in the human mind and soul that get us trapped, stuck, and hurt. And they're these two very simple messages that you and I can just carry deep within our minds and hearts. And here's what they are. I don't matter, and I am not good enough. Many of us today, we might not realize it, but we might be tremendously shaped by these messages. Because as a human being, you pick these messages up without even realizing you pick them up. And they shape you without even realizing that they're shaping you. See, when you're a kid, and maybe you grew up and your parents were workaholics, maybe you had a parent that was a workaholic, and you wanted to be with them, you wanted to spend time with them, but they were always at work. Here's what you do as a kid. You internalize that message, and here's what it sounds like. I don't matter. Work matters, because work always gets chosen over me, but I don't matter. Or if you grew up and your parent was an alcoholic or had an addiction, then even though your parents did probably truly love you and you did matter, you grew up with that message, I don't matter. This addiction matters. And there's so many ways that these messages get picked up and comprehended and consolidated and get into our system. And we end up living with this sense of knowledge and even knowledge beyond our understanding of I don't matter and I'm not good enough. And here's why Paul's prayer is so important to us. Here's why this prayer of experiencing this immersive, overwhelming love of God is so important, because it gives us an exact opposite message than that. It says that we matter to God. We are loved by God. We're loved by God. We matter so much that you cannot understand the dimensions of his love. You can't even, it will take everything in you, and there's not even enough to understand the full dimensions of God's love. Paul's saying, you matter to God. And we need to experience that. We need to know it, but it needs to get into our DNA. And we need to live from that place. I want you to know today that you are good enough to do everything God wants to do in your life. Through Jesus Christ, you are good enough for God to do everything he wants to through your life. And you can live from that place of security and well-being. You don't have to be good enough to do for God to do in someone else's life what he wants to do there. No, you don't need to worry about that. You just need to know that today you are good enough for God to do everything he wants to do through your life today. And Paul says, as we experience this love, I cannot just know this love. I have to experience it. That's why he's praying. He's praying, man, I pray you would just have this relationship with God where this can be more than just head knowledge, more than church knowledge, but it can shape how you live your life. And as we experience this love of Christ, it gives us a future orientation of hope and expectation. Paul ends this part. He says, now to him who is able to do above what we can ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church for generations to come. He says, as I look to the future, I'm expecting and anticipating a God who does more than we can ask or imagine. Why does Paul have that orientation toward the future? Because he's so filled with Christ's love. Now, one of my favorite movies, maybe my favorite movie from all time, definitely in my top three, but it's the movie The American President. Now, if you're watching and you've seen it, just give me a thumbs up or a fist bump or something. It, you know, it's never won any Oscars or something, but I love watching the movie. I've watched it probably 100 times. And the movie is about an American president played by Michael Douglas, and he's a really good president. But he became the president shortly after his wife died. He's a widow. And while he's running the country, he ends up interacting with this sort of political opponent, this lobbyist, and he falls in love. And as he starts dating this lobbyist, the American public doesn't like it. They don't like the intermixing of the lobbyist and the president. It doesn't look good. They don't like the way their relationship's going. And so this president who is beloved now is getting criticized. All his political opponents are ganging up on it and using this relationship to just smear his name and character. And it gets really ugly. And it starts to hurt his relationship with this woman that he loves. Her name's Sydney. And so their relationship ends up getting strained, and he ends up hurting the relationship to help his presidency. And that's kind of when everything in the movie goes south. But then he has these moments of clarity, and he realizes, no, I need to fight for this love. And he fights to win her back, and then he fights to be the president that he needs to be. And in the end, he not only ends up being a great president, but he also has this beautiful relationship of love. And really what the story is all about is just kind of that quest for love, how difficult it really is. And I think all of us today are on that quest. We all want to be loved in this way that Paul's talking about. We want to receive it, and we want to give it. And if you've ever noticed in your life that when you are searching and fighting for love, it's a really perilous journey. There's a lot of potholes along the way. There's a lot of ditches you can fall into. We can be very clumsy in that journey. And if you peel back the layers of our life and we look at what we're doing, the drive of it for many of us is fighting for love. We're fighting to be loved, fighting to be seen. We're fighting to be heard, and we're fighting and we're making a lot of messes. And here's why. Because God made you not to fight for love, but to live from love. You don't need to fight for God's love. He has given it to you freely in Jesus Christ. It is the gift of all gifts. He just gives it to you today. Wherever you are, his hands are open. He's saying, just take it. Just take it. It's yours. I want it. He gives it. You don't have to live for love today. You can live from love. We don't have to manipulate people or circumstances. We don't have to strive and claw. No, we can live from a place of love today. And here's my challenge for you. I want you this week, I want you to just do a little audit of everything you do. And I just want you to ask yourself, whether you're at work, whether you're at home, whether you're at the gym, whatever you're doing, I just want you to ask this question. Am I living for love or from love? Am I living for love to prove, to impress, to get attention to any of that? Or am I living from love? Am I filled with Christ's love? And now I'm entering my marriage, I'm entering my work, I'm entering my relationships, and I have this thing to give that God has given me, or am I trying to grab at something that I don't need to grab at? Because God says, son, daughter, I have it for you right here. I believe that when we live for love, man, we will exhaust ourselves. We will run ourselves into the ground. We'll make a lot of messes. And the thing that we're actually chasing for will keep knocking out of our reach. But if we live from love, from the love of Christ, we just receive it today. And we allow it to sink deeper and deeper into our lives. Then, church, we will live from a place of fullness, of rest, of health, and we'll have a lot of great things to give the people around us. Let's pray. Father, I pray, Lord, just what Paul prayed. Help us, Lord, to see our identity in you. Help us, Lord, to be strengthened in our inner being. I pray Christ would dwell in each of our hearts through faith. And help us, Lord, to know and to comprehend and to know in a way that surpasses knowledge your love for us, that we may be filled with the fullness of God. Help us in all of this. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks again for joining us this week. If this message blessed you in some way, we want to encourage you to share it with others here on social media. Also, if you are in need of prayer, please drop your prayer requests in the comments if you're comfortable. And if not, send us a DM here on Facebook or Instagram so we can be praying for you. We do truly believe here at Christ Church that we are one body and we should be supporting each other. Don't forget, tomorrow night, 6:30 p.m., we'll be meeting over at the Land to get together and pray. That's on Archer Road. And we hope you have a blessed week.